Once again, I'm Robert Digital here with Ender's Logic and special guest star Flopsy. Say hello.
Hey.
All right.
Hello. That's going to be my call sign. I think I nailed it. I'm going to go with hello.
What do you think? That's terrible.
What?
That is horrible.
Whoa. Whoa. Guys, why all the hate?
Because we care too much about you to let you make stupid decisions. So we feel...
That's what my PO says.
We feel obligated to intervene when we're making a poor decision. So we're trying something a little different with the mics here. Hopefully it works out.
And with adding the Chad, a.k.a. Flopsy. That's a very tentative, at best, experiment we're sitting in.
And yeah, I think we're going to... So we're going to stick with our new format, huh? Kind of this free-form open mode.
I like it. And you know what? I've got positive feedback. Hey, if you're listening, guess what? There's more than one of you. There's actually more than tens of you. And from what we're getting so far, it's better off that we talk this way, more like we're having a conversation than we were trying to be very structured, I guess.
Yeah. We don't want to try too hard. We don't want to be tryhards.
Tryhards always fail. Even if they win, somebody calls them tryhards, still lose, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, as I always say, you're never supposed to pre-purchase, absolutely, under any circumstances. But I have made my first pre-purchase of the year.
All right.
And it's only January.
It's like January 9th when you did this.
Yeah, didn't make it too far. Any guesses on what I pre-purchased?
I think it was what I pre-purchased and what I pre-purchased for someone else, and that would be Rust.
True. No, that doesn't count as a pre-purchase. It's an alpha. I don't consider that pre-purchase.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
Pre-purchase is a game you cannot play.
Oh, okay.
You have no idea what you're getting into.
You definitely bought the Telltale game. I forget the name of it.
Not Telltale. Double Fine.
Double Fine. Sorry.
Yeah. Action Adventure. Same thing. But yeah, Broken Age.
Broken Age.
Because you know what? I figured...
Did you see the... Chad, did you see the trailer?
Yeah.
Both trailers for the both come? There's
not
a
sure.
Black chick and there's a white guy, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, yeah. And they're both.
You don't know which one you saw?
I don't think so.
Anyway, they're pretty impressive. It gave me the sense that there's a really good story to be told here. I think it's two sides of the same coin kind of thing.
This is the girl in the spaceship and the
guy in the spaceship.
Girl on the planet.
She's like tribal.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what made you pre-purchase it?
I have been on a serious point-and-click adventure game.
Ever since
Escapade, man. It's been ridiculous.
Yeah. Ever since The Walking Dead, then you went to something else, and then I want to say Gone Home.
Yeah, you know, I don't want to say The Walking Dead started it all, but yeah, I played Gone Home, I played Violet.
He doesn't like to give credit to anyone.
Gotcha.
Violet, which I thought was okay. And, you know, this is Double Fine. I recently just finished another Double Fine game. I'll talk about that later, Costume Quest. But, I mean, I like that company. I like the way the game looked. I had seen some reviews from what people have played. They said, like, yeah, it's pretty good. It doesn't really break the mold. But, you know, this is a game that I would totally play through. And rather than just wait for it to come out and wait a long time for it to go on sale, I figured, why not just get it now? Just get it done with. I'm saving $250. I mean, come
Boom.
On.
Boom.
Why do you say not to pre-order?
Just in general.
Yeah, in general. Well, you never know what you're going to get when you pre-order, right?
On our podcast, Chad, you don't know this because you don't listen.
Okay.
Yeah, you're just part of it all of a sudden. We have one rule. And the one rule is never pre-order.
But
except in certain cases.
But if you...
Number one, never pre-order. Step two, sometimes you do.
But developer like Double Fine, you're pretty much guaranteed to get something good.
You would think so, right? But we've had discussion when we're talking about Gearbox software, where you're talking about... Borderlands is an amazing fucking series. Amazing. Top games of all time, I would even put up. In the echelon of, like, top 20 of all time.
Okay.
And then you have Colonial Marines. And then you have...
You said it right.
And I, thank God. Thank God.
Yeah, but Gearbox, I think you've taken more of a chance with, because they have been known to drop the ball. They also were responsible for Duke Nukem Forever, although it can be argued that that's not completely their fault.
We've had this
we've discussed that. But, yeah, I feel like Double Fine's a safe bet. I like Tim Schafer. He's the one who kind of headed this little thing. And I don't know. It just looks like a good game.
The story looks amazing. The game, again, I'll reiterate, I'm not a point and click adventure guys. I'll pick it up for like $2, $3, $5, something like that.
Really?
But yeah.
Well, the big question I have about this, it's coming out January 28th, but this is the first act. So I don't know if I bought both acts.
I'm saying no. Because it would be obvious. Hey, guys, you're getting this and this if you buy it right now.
But they don't exclusively advertise this is the first act. Like, that's, it's not like in the title. It's not like Walking Dead Season 1, you know? It's not in the title. Maybe you don't, but
I think you're being hopeful, and I think you're going to be sorely disappointed.
$25 seems like a lot for one act. But, hey, it could be, one act could be like a full game. So, okay. I don't know. We'll see.
Tell me how much you would have played this and feel satisfied. Like, I got my $25 worth.
Are we talking about...
Hours worth.
Hours worth?
Because you can't lose at point and clicks, right?
Yeah.
You just click until you find the right thing. That's why I don't like them. There's no challenge.
Well, you can die, but then you just restart and do it again.
You're basically unlocking a story is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Well, I think I like that they're just so casual. It's not something too intense, something that you can kind of kick back and play. There's not a lot of pressure, and sometimes I want that in gaming. There are times where I want to play multiplayer games against people and be very competitive. There are times when I just want to kick back and have some fun.
When he runs into people like me, he likes to log off and... go more casual.
Yeah.
Point and click reminds me of
that guy killed me five times in a row.
It reminds me of my childhood, because like Full Throttle and all those LucasArts back in the
day. Some of the best games ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another game I played a little bit of today was Monkey Island, the first one.
Yeah, he's going back to the old school.
Yeah.
Because he's an old fool. The old school.
Well, those are good ones.
Well, yeah, that was Lucasfilm, and that was the same people. LucasArts, yeah. It was Ron Gilbert and Tim Schafer. Ron Gilbert did The Cave, which, that one wasn't that good.
Chad, you played a little bit of that, right?
I did. Yeah. I liked it, but it didn't hold my attention for very
long. How long did you play it? You played, two solid hours, and that was it?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, something
two
like
or
that.
3 hours.
Yeah, but if it doesn't bring you back,
Well, that's the thing about point-and-click adventure games. I made this point when I played Violet, is once you figure out the puzzle...
But The Cave isn't a point-and-click.
No. Okay. It's a platformer that they try to mix with adventure. And, I mean, I think what I said about it was they tried to do two things, and they didn't do either one that great. They just did both very mediocre.
But I think they said when they were saying that they all got back together and, this, you know, through the Kickstarter and all that, their business and their function, that they're going to throw a lot of experiments out.
Yeah.
And I think the collection of all these experiments is the new game, which you pre-ordered, the...
Broken Age.
Broken Age. I think that's... Here's our new product. Thanks for, playing these other things. But this is our flagship title now.
Yeah. Well, it was a Kickstarter project. And they're doing things that they couldn't really do under normal procedure with a developer. So, I mean, I like experimental stuff like that.
It's one of the great things about a Kickstarter is the artist... It's a singular focus, or maybe two people working together, and it's uninterrupted by producers and people that, we got to get this out now, or we got to get this out by this time, or this way, or it's got to be, PG-13, it can't be rated X, or whatever. All of that, it comes down to the artist's focus onto a product, onto the consumer, no middleman.
Okay. And yeah, that's absolutely true, but I don't think that's necessarily a good thing, because the same can be said about Madea movies. That's all Tyler Perry. That's his vision, and he sees it through exactly how he wants to.
And some people love those.
I saw
the last one. That sounds very racist when you say some people.
Some people do.
Oh, okay. I'm just going to say... there's no way to go around that.
And I'm not going to say they're all bad. I've seen like three of them. They're not bad.
No, but you know what? Spike Jonze is an amazing fucking director. Him, not even close. I think he got lucky with one movie, and it's terrible.
Okay. Well, in the cave, when you said you played that one, now you choose two characters or three characters, and you play as them throughout the whole thing, and you see their stories, and then you can go back to the beginning and play as other characters and go through their stories. So, do you remember which people you played as?
I did the knight.
Yeah, I did him too. I did the knight. I did the twins.
I did the hot chick. Anyone?
No.
There
was no hot chick.
I did the future girl, the evil, creepy twins, and the knight.
The twins acted as one character?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were like the, what's that?
Was one growing out of the other one's stomach?
No. No, it was like those twins from, what's that scary movie?
From
Shining. Super Smash Brothers.
Ice climbers.
Yeah, the ice climbers.
But I will say that was one good thing about that game is that they gave you the opportunity to... It had replay value. You could play the game again and have a completely different story.
See, that game felt like it had replay value for replay value itself. Like, you'd go through it, and then it says, play it again to see the real ending. And that's kind of what I didn't like about that game. And I didn't play it long enough to play it all the way through, but that's how the impression I got out of that.
Okay. I mean, my biggest complaint about the game was that the story just was not that deep. And when Ron Gilbert was talking about it, he said he wanted to... The idea was that you had this cave that held these people's deepest, darkest secrets. And as you played as these characters, it slowly unraveled, and you learned about these characters, and you saw what that, you know, deep secret was. And it really wasn't that deep. I mean,
was it like, okay, so you're playing with three characters, and you play, say, your front man, did you have a front man? Like the guy that you're playing as?
You switch back and forth between the characters, but you would come to an area where only one character could get in, and you'd have to go through that section, and that's when you really would unlock most of their story.
I think we're talking a lot about a game that you guys didn't like too much.
Sure.
I'm not going to say it's terrible, but I wouldn't recommend it.
To get back to his question, how many hours for $25 do you feel satisfied?
That's tough with point-and-click adventure because I don't expect a lot of replay value there. But I'm going to go ahead and say...
I expect one amazing story. One amazing story at first.
But you can tell an amazing story in 5 hours.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be...
Or two, yeah.
Most movies are 2 hours.
Yeah, but games tend to run longer. And I think this is going to land at around 6 hours. I think that would
be... That's what you're expecting for 25. That's, for point and click, that's a lot of pointing and a lot of clicking. Yeah.
Well, you know, I got to give them credit because there's really good voice acting in this one, too, and that's kind of what drew me in as well. They got Elijah Wood, they got Jack Black, Will Wheaton, Jennifer Hale, who is not someone a lot of people recognize, but she's a woman that's been doing voice acting since the 90s in cartoons and video games.
Jack Black was made for voice acting.
Yeah.
And that guy fucking knocks it out of the park, even in regular movies. When he's just kidding around and he's doing a voice, he's really, really good at it.
Yeah, he's got a great voice.
The other thing is, $25 is about half the price of a regular game. And a 12-hour regular game for a single-player game, it seems about standard.
I'm just going to fight with you really quick on this, because you're talking about AAA, right? AAA isn't regular anymore. I think there's so many... In these now, that it's not the majority anymore. AAA is not the majority.
I would agree.
That's
with
just
you.
A letter.
But a full title, yes. A 12-hour gameplay is about standard.
What do you guys think the average price for a game is now? $35, maybe? Probably around the average.
Like
probably around there. You know what? That brings up an interesting point that I wanted to get to, and I guess now's the best time. But I read an article, not a very long one, but about how they're saying Oculus Rift games may cost more than normal games. They didn't say how much more, but
they said why.
Well, I mean, I think it's obvious why, because developers have to spend more money to make a game that supports the Oculus. So if it costs them more money to make it, they're going to charge more for the product.
Now, let me try to understand this because I don't know the technical side of this. I make a 3D world. Let's say Skyrim. Take a shot, fuckers. The most immersive 3D world I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put an Oculus headset on and enjoy it. Not to the full extent. I've heard it's pretty bad. But you can walk around with an Oculus Rift and enjoy Skyrim, right? They didn't do anything extra there. The only extra was adding in the, I don't know, drivers for the peripheral, I'm guessing. So now this peripheral works within our game world. It doesn't sound like they're programming specially for... Another case in point, even better, is Euro Truck Simulator 2000. from what I've heard, is the best, most immersive game there is on the Oculus, because the game was a very point of view setup. So as you turn your hand, turn the wheel and all that. And so when you put on the Oculus, you see as if you were in the cockpit of a big rig. And so it's very, very, and you're sitting down. So you're sitting down and you have the immersive cockpit and you're playing it. They did not have the Oculus Rift at all in their game plan. But here we are, maybe the most immersive game so far, even more so than the games that are built for it. So I don't know what they're talking about when it says, like, built for.
Well, we haven't seen games yet that have really, really been...
Mostly demos, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, just a lot of, like, short, quick ones. And, like, I don't know the technical, like, what would it take to make a game that works with the Oculus Rift, but obviously that is more work and more money. They got to make, you know, they got to pay people to do this work to make it compatible with this game or to produce content for it. So I mean, it's pretty obvious.
I don't know that much more, man. I don't think you should raise the dollar value, honestly. Real quick though, Valve has said that by 2015, we want a completely immersive VR reality. And they're not going to make their own gadgets. They said, we're going to team up with Oculus, and we're going to help them out, and we want to get something complete. And the first thing showing that they've, to the dedication, right now, they've already put it out. You can be on Steam, and it's a 3D, completely VR reality, where you go through your Steam library, and you go through all the tabs, what's on sale, but it's around you completely. Minority Report. Like, so you're going through the tabs and stuff. That's out right now. You could be on... They're not charging for this. This is just like, hey guys, I think this is where things are going. Check this out. And enjoy what we put out. So you put on a headset, and guess what? You're now in Steam. You're not on Steam. You're in Steam. How fucking cool is that?
I mean, that's cool, but is that really useful?
Oh, jeez.
I mean,
Mr. Shark down over here.
Shark, I got to play that card. I mean, do we need all these things? Do we need Bluetooth on our washing machine?
I guess if you're playing on the Oculus Rift, you don't want to take it off to check your library out. You know, if you're playing games on it and a friend calls you on Steam, you want to be able to pull Steam up while you're on the Oculus Rift. You don't want to take that off.
That's pretty cool.
It,
right? Yeah, I didn't even think about that. What I was thinking is like, okay, I'm going to play X game, right? But to get the X game, I have to go through Steam because my Steam is... So you load up super cool Steam. All right, I'm already getting the mood into it. And now I go into the VR game.
Have you guys used the Oculus Rift? Have you guys had a chance to put it on?
No. It's all speculation.
So
he thinks it's the worst thing ever invented.
I've played around with it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for like an hour or two.
Do tell, my friend.
And it is... I don't get motion sickness in games, yeah. And I felt like I was going to throw up after about 15
minutes. So have you heard of the new version that came out of CES?
Mm-hmm.
They have a new one that has lower latency that's supposed to get rid of most of that.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, and it has...
Because this was like 6 months ago or so.
Were you sitting down or standing up?
Sitting down.
And you still got nauseous.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, you know, like, it was disorienting. I know, you know, you hear people about playing first-person shooters that get motion sickness.
Right.
You know, I'm nowhere near that. I play first-person shooters all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But still, this
people
was like...
People watched the Blair Witch Project and had to walk out of it.
Yeah. I don't get any of that, but this
bitches,
Oculus...
Bitches!
This Oculus Rift made me nauseous, but you could see the cool factor of this thing. It is super immersive.
We talked about this last episode, but the Crystal Cove version that just came out, it has lower latency, which is supposed to cut out a lot of that. And it also has... VR, motion capture, mm-hmm. those little dots are all over, and there's a camera in front of you. Mm-hmm. So not only does it track which way you're looking, but where your head is. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot, you know, it's coming along. And that's not the last. There, you know, there's going to be more before it's finally released.
Yeah, Valve actually said in one of their dev days that they actually helped out Oculus with that, with the Crystal Cove thing. They were involved in making that. So, yeah, I mean, I believe that they're on board with all this stuff. But
they're going to be along for the ride. They're into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think
There he goes. You know what? He's a glass half full kind of guy, but it's full of shit. Is the thing.
We gotta have one of those.
Yeah, like, well, hey, we will see when it comes out, man. We will see. Cause like I'm telling you, I hate to use the 3D as the example, as I always do, but like I hardly ever put on my 3D glasses, and I still think it's cool. It's just like
Jeff. When else have you heard this much buzz about a peripheral? Ever.
It's true.
Never. Nothing has even come close. 3D had never hit my radar. Oh, I know. Okay, 3D is there. 3D is there, but it's not. I don't consider it for my PC.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I knew about it, but I never thought about it that way. This thing is a game changer.
We've had this discussion before, and there's no need to beat a dead horse, but we will see when it comes out. Money's on the table. We will see how much of an impact this has.
All right, let's get into our focus for the day. So we've been playing a lot of Rust.
A lot.
Well, maybe not a lot. I mean, as far as like our friend Geyser, he's put in 70 hours or something, he was saying yesterday. We put in about, you put in about seven today, six?
Yeah.
Six to that. I guess I put in about maybe 12, and Bobby, you've put in about 25 or so?
Yeah, maybe like 20.
Yeah. So, let's talk about Rust.
Yeah, let's talk about
Chad,
Rust.
Chad, what'd you think?
You want me to start it?
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry,
well, do you guys want to talk about the game itself before we talk about our impressions of it?
I think in general, most people are like, what is Rust right now?
Okay.
Because I was like that. Along with, so what is your
I would best describe it as a better Minecraft is how I did it, with more real world crafting. They put more physics into the game where you can't have floating objects and
it looks like more realistic.
Oh yeah, way more realistic. Yeah. But in my mind it kind of felt like a better cleaner version of Minecraft.
I think that's where you're at. And Minecraft was hugely profitable and popular. Gary, the guy behind Gary's Mod, I forget his last name, he's the one who put this together, but he didn't have that in mind when he, as far as in the interview that I read, he said, I want this to be, we love DayZ, we want to make a game like DayZ, and so we did. That's exactly what he said. So, but you're right. It comes a little more on the Minecraft side. Yeah. There are zombies, but once you get established, you don't really need them. But then, again, we're playing on the little kitty server for the most part, where people can't shoot people. So we and we'll put our pictures up on the website about what we did. It was pretty snazzy. If I don't, I mean, Bobby built it. Me and Chad were just the laborers, if
the
you will.
Peons.
Yeah, even in the virtual world, Mexicans still picking tomatoes, man. It's not cool, man.
How about you, Bobby? What'd you think?
Well...
okay. He's the one who sold us both on it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, here's... I think it pretty much is...
The game's in alpha, by the way. Let me throw that out.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little rusty. pardon the
pun. Boo.
But,
yeah, it definitely needs the edges smoothed out. But no, I think it's a great game. I think it's everything that we can expect from a game in 2014. I said this before, like 2014, we're seeing this huge trend towards open world, towards stuff like Minecraft, where there's crafting, where there's not a specific narrative. It just gives the player a lot of freedom and a lot of choice. And that's exactly what this is. And I think those types of games are just insanely successful right now. It's like probably... It's in the top 10 on Steam, I think, the most played games.
Rust is, and so is DayZ, and they're both in that format.
Yeah.
And we don't even have a name for them, really. I mean, you have to survive. People are calling them survival games, I think, but...
I think the crafting is the key part in these. I think they got to be some sort of crafting survival game, some sort of... But Bobby's talking about them being open world.
Craftival?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Craftival.
I try.
I don't know about that. Oh my god. No sound effects. We're not.
Oh, sorry.
I think it's interesting, though, because we played that a lot today. I played that a lot by myself when I first got it, a whole lot. And it was a very different experience. And honestly, like, I was kind of over it. I was like, okay, I had the exact same experience I did with Minecraft, where I played it a whole lot when I first got it. I got the experience, and then I was ready to move on. But then other people got it. They wanted to play together. And, of course, like, I'm always jumping on the bandwagon. If anyone wants to play anything, it's like I'm all about that multiplayer experience. So
friends, I need friends.
You do need friends for a game like this. You need friends and a headset, absolutely, for this game.
And I don't even know about this because I've never played Minecraft, but every version that comes out is, I mean, 1.4 is drastically different from 1.5, and now we're going into 1.7, I believe. Do you guys know about anything about this?
Mm.
Yeah, I think there's huge changes every time that there's a patch. So as opposed to, like, you know, other games where it's just, like, minor changes. But hell if I know.
I think it's interesting in this game, though, in Rust, like how... Because there's no specific narrative, people kind of take on different roles and, like you said, set their own quests. And as we played together, it was kind of like we all adopted our own jobs.
Yeah, for sure. I think you kind of gravitate towards what you would naturally do in real life, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like a case study, watching people play this game. It's like I feel like I'm being examined by scientists or something.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
Interesting. He goes to the forest and does that. Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
Exactly. That's how I felt about DayZ also.
This one stays behind and builds. The other keeps getting lost.
Yeah. It's like, here is your playpen. Let's see what happens when we add these elements and then these elements. The overwhelming idea that I had during, and this is what I go back to in almost all my arguments and thoughts and everything. I think that we're modern day, for about 1% of our existence, we were hunter-gatherer, humans for 200, 300,000 years. We've only been modernized for like 6,000 years. So we're built up for things like this. We're built up for gathering, finding out what's good, searching it out, being better at it. You know, Chad and I were the scavengers, so we went out, and we were looking for resources. And after a while, we started to learn the terrain a little bit. We knew our neighborhood. We can expand little by little. We're going out further and further. And we started to learn that. I think that's in our DNA. I know I'm trying to make it sound more grandiose than it is, and it's a very late, early game. But I think this speaks to the inner caveman. And I had that feeling. Like, this is why why else would a game where you run around and chop wood down be fun? There's nothing to it except for maybe, and just like how Bobby was just saying, every guy has his role. And, you know, naturally people would have their roles. And Bobby built, and we gathered, and it was amazing. But except for in real life, people would die for reals. And hey, where's Og? We don't know where Og is. And then that's it. Don't go where Og went. So there was a little bit of that where we didn't go into the rat area anymore, where I died, even though I had the laser scoped missile launching sniper rifle.
So, like, the setting in this game seems to be post-apocalyptic. Like, it seems...
Probably, because of the radiation.
Yeah, because of the radiation, and there's...
The airdrops also.
Yeah, the airdrops and zombies, and it's a survival game where you have to build up your shelter. And, of course, it's interesting to watch how different people interact with each other. I mean, this is a game where you really need a headset. Anytime I walk by someone, I always say hello. Like, I always do that, and a lot of people are the same.
Hey, what's up, dude?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
There's a greeting.
Yeah.
You know, completely different if you're playing in a PvP server where these people can kill you. It reminds me of, like, shows like The Walking Dead, where, you know, people are living in a post-apocalyptic world, and it's all full of uneasy alliances. Like, you don't know who you can trust or how far you can trust them. Like, maybe you can work with this guy, but you don't want to turn your back on him. You know, it's interesting to see how the relationships play out in this game.
Now, it's more realistic to be playing on one of the PvP servers. Mm-hmm. But since we were being, we were new players, we were having a really, really hard, we put an hour and a half into probably trying to find each other on a PvP server, but every time we got close, we got clipped.
Yeah.
So,
Well, I think it's good that there's both PvE and PvP servers. I don't think any mode is superior than the other. I think some people enjoy PvE servers where you don't have that threat of other people and you can build. And if that's what you want to do, build and craft and explore and adventure, like PvE servers is the way to go for you. But if you're looking for that extra level of threat, you know, the opportunity to, it kind of depends on the person that you are too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Like, Chad's big argument with this was, where's the end game? Where do I win? Mm-hmm. And you don't really win, especially on a PvE server. You're going to eventually win no matter what you do, because...
No, you're going to eventually run out of things to do. You're not going to win. Like, that's my point with these games like this. There's things to do, but there's, at the end of the day, there's nothing to do.
What if you were on a PvP server and you got established enough that you dominate everybody around you? I would say that's close to winning.
Yeah.
If you want to be an asshole.
I think there's a certain percentage of people that enjoy that, the fact that there isn't any objective. There's no winning the game.
Yeah.
I just don't happen to be one of those gamers. I like to fit within a rigid structure. I play Grand Theft Auto and I play through the story mode. I know lots of other people that never even get to the story mode because they're busy killing prostitutes and running them over with cars and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the type of gamer I am. I want to progress the story. I want to see what happens. I want to see what the developers have created for me to explore.
So I'm not getting my $20 back, is what you're saying?
Basically, you're not getting it back.
I think it's when we first played last night together, we hopped on with a friend of ours, and immediately when we got in, he found someone. He started attacking him because he felt he had the advantage over this character, this guy, for some reason. Yeah, and he killed him.
And I said, "Hey, dude, you're a jerk."
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting because that would not be my initial reaction. I see another player, I know that I can kill him. I mean, I probably wouldn't. I'd be like, "Hey, what's up, dude? What's going on?" I'd feel him out.
Yeah,
and I don't know. I think that's because I played so many games, and for the longest time, like, all you've been able to do in games is just kill other people. That's the point. You kill the enemy. That's all you do. And, like, so the opportunity to actually, like, develop a relationship, feel people out, you know, cooperate and work together to build something bigger, like I want to explore that, but, you know... I don't want to blame, like, the younger kids or something, but I feel like people get on this game, they're just like, kill people.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, we've been doing that for years. Well, I mean, I have. We've been doing that for years, man. Stop the violence. Let's work together, you know?
Can we get along? There was a thing on PC Gamer where they put a guy who was running around Rust just interviewing people, like, as if he had a microphone. Hey, what do you think of Rust? What do you think of Rust? And did I talk about this on the last one?
Yes, we did.
God damn it. Well, this is the second one. It was way better. Ninjas did it.
Yeah. But no, I think, I mean, this game does, I don't know if it has a rating on Metacritic, but I mean, what are you guys feeling about this game?
Ooh, I don't think it can be judged.
So
it's not judgeable because it's. Are you gonna judge a person on its fetus?
Right now,
boom,
the
fucking yeah. From downtown.
Right now, the graphics are just so. I really dug the weather and the day to night and how the sun comes up and it.
Sun
and
was it, beautiful.
Yeah,
sunset,
barely
sun,
makes
yeah.
the trees red and yeah. you can barely see and that stuff.
Their lighting
beautiful.
Is. Very nice.
But the
Everything
character
else.
Animations are garbage.
Yeah.
Like, obviously the grass was having problems because I had to do the console command to turn the grass off, basically.
Yeah.
So there's some really good things about the graphics and some really shitty things about the graphics.
Yeah. And if you upgrade your gun or if you get a hatchet instead of a stone hatchet, other people don't see that, so you can't tell what kind
pickaxes
of...
Pickaxes look like hatchets.
Yeah.
So basically yeah. it's an alpha still. Is what it comes
yeah, it's
down
still
to.
An alpha, so these things are to be expected. It seems to have some serious problems with lag. I mean, I know that really depends on the server, but I don't think I've ever been on a single server that didn't have lag issues
That's
at one
true.
Point in time.
Hey, Bobby, real quick, can you give me a rundown of what it took for us to get to the shotgun point? Like, where we started all the way up to the shotgun? like the all everything you need to.
Long time. God, it probably took us hours to get to that point too.
But as far as materials that you need to farm.
Materials. I mean, the first thing you want to do is get out there and get yourself some wood and some stone so you can build a hatchet, and then maybe like down a deer or some sort of animal that's easy to kill. Get some food and some cloth, then you can build a bow, and then after, you know, you build a bow, hunting's a little bit easier, and you can build a shelter and a campfire and then a workbench to build more stuff. It's stuff that just it sounds boring to list it, but yeah.
No, I don't think so. I like it. It's like that's the progression of the game.
Yeah.
Now I was like, oh, yeah, and did we do all that? Because all I was doing is going to kill shit.
Yeah.
I feel like games
mostly
like
mostly in the face. I was killing things in the face.
Yeah, but I feel like a game like this really feeds off people's primal need to complete tasks, you know, to like go out there and to like do something.
And we brought this up during the game. I said, I love that we're creating our own quests. Like, I gotta go get X amount of wood for Bobby, because Bobby's building back at the... And Chad's like, no, I would rather something more structured.
Yeah.
Like, an NPC tell me I need to go get this much wood.
Well, I think if you are sitting down with three people playing this game, you can make fun with it regardless, you know.
Yeah.
It's three people, even you and I getting wood, we were competing over who could get the most wood together, and you know,
I get wood every morning.
We get these organic sort of quests, but if you're sitting by yourself, I couldn't imagine playing this game by myself, because
no, I couldn't either.
Yeah, you'd be getting wood by yourself and building a house, and like, it just wouldn't seem fun to me. I think the fun of this game is the social aspects
sure.
of it.
And almost, I mean, doesn't that go with most games? Like, any game you play is going to be more fun if it was...
That's not true, because I sit down and play WoW all by myself and enjoy it and love it. Oftentimes, I don't even want to play with people.
Yeah, I love WoW, too. That's, like, probably... It's in the top three. Probably the top two.
But do you play with people, or would you rather just play it by yourself?
I mean, I've done it both ways.
See, I want to see the social aspects for what they are, but a lot of times when you're talking to other people, especially like in Rust, I went off and did something else because I don't want to hear a 12-year-old talking
sure.
into my ear. You
know? Which, I mean, it does happen, but you don't see a lot of that. I think it's interesting to see a game that relies so heavily on that. I mean, we had full-on conversations. How many times do you play a game and you just have a long conversation with a stranger?
Yeah.
Like, I think you were talking about that one guy's ear off, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That was getting a little...
Well, I was falling... Okay, so...
In love with them? Yeah.
Real quick, two stories. I have the story of BK1000. I want to talk to you guys about a very emaciated young lad who was maybe 10 to 12 years old. And he came up to me and says, do you guys have any food? I will get all the wood you want if you just feed me. So we gave him some food, and he started getting wood off of a tree with a rock. And we said, okay, here's some stuff. This will be after we fed him, obviously. And, you know, he was all about it. He was farming for wood for us for a little while. And... Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think he could have found it.
And then one day, off in the distance, we heard a small yell, and I looked, and there he was, running for his life.
And guys, I never tried to save somebody's life more in a game, even as a medic in TF2. Like, I was rushing over, because I knew that if I saved this guy, we were in the money, because he was going to farm for us for at least a couple hours. But that's not what happened.
He would have owed us the Wookiee life debt.
He ended up in a polar bear stomach, I think is what happened.
No, I killed the beast right after it, like, killed him, or he died of bleed damage or something. But, yeah, I mean, it was a close call. Like, I jumped off the roof and was running towards him. I mean,
this poor guy.
It was a heroic attempt to save his life, but
so he says.
All in vain. Yeah, so we could not save him, and we lost
him. I didn't see any arrows around that thing's body. And then we have the other side of the spectrum, where there was a guy named Professor Chaos.
Three.
And, so I was lost because I had died and I couldn't find the base. And this guy in a full suit of armor with a bunch of weapons was like, hey, man, how are you doing? I was like, I'm doing not so good. I'm about to starve and I don't know where my family is and I'm sad and I'm crying. And he's like, well, here's some food. And what do you need? And I said, well, we have a place going and we have our valuables like this and this is how we set this up. And he goes, no, you should set up like my place. And he showed me his place. And this is what I'm talking about. It's a one-sided conversation. I think really what we're talking about here is jealousy, because Chad and Bobby couldn't hear the other guy talking, so they it's like I was talking to myself because I was on, we were on Skype and he was on game. Anyways, saying all this marvelous fucking intelligence shit, and he gave me a bunch of good stuff, and then I came home with all these presents, and they were a little jealous, I think is what it came down to. But this guy, he said that him and his partner had agreed on that what they're going to do is help out new players, and I was a new player, and they hooked us up. I mean, it's so you have two sides of the spectrum, right?
Yeah, and I think it was interesting what that guy said was, because he had brought up the fact, you invite him to play on a PvP server with us, and he said that's not really his deal, he likes PvE, and like that's what got me thinking, like, you know, there really is two different routes you can go with this game. Like the PvE servers compared with the no rating compared to a PvP server is a different experience, and like it really depends on the type of player that you are. So yeah, I mean, there's also that fellow Lopez we had interesting run-ins with, but I mean, there's a million great stories, and that's, yeah, we all remember him.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's how a game like this is. You know, you're creating these stories as you're playing it, and it's really fun when you're playing it with people, but yeah, as a solitary experience, I don't see this happening as much. In a PvE server, you get way more of that, I've noticed. This does not happen on a PvP.
Oh, for sure, because you're just shooting people. Where's the story going to evolve?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're just getting shot in the face.
Well, I mean, DayZ servers were all pretty much PvP servers, but they evolved into, they had certain things that you would do to make yourself known to each other. There was ways to get across that you were friendly.
Yeah, I mean, you shout friendly.
Oh, yeah, now, especially people. Now in the alpha, you can put your hands up. There's a bunch of emotes where, like, and when you have your hands up, it's not like you pull out your gun really quick. Like, it's difficult. It takes, like, a few. So as long as you have your hands up, people know that you're pretty much disarmed. Mm-hmm. So you could be like, put your hands up and be like, I'm friendly, friendly, friendly. And if that guy still shoots you in the face, I got a fucking asshole. I'm gonna go ahead and go with that.
He's probably, you know, he's a young kid, or yeah, he's just a dick. And that's what I'm saying, man. Like, I have met, like, the coolest people playing games like that, because I'll run into someone who's like, you know, like, oh, yeah, hey, what's up, man? Yeah, let's go do this. And all of a sudden, I'm on an adventure with this dude, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, it turns out really fun.
You know they're friendly when
although,
they got
by the way,
reason to not be friendly, and they still are, right?
What do you mean?
Like, on a PvP server, they've got every reason to fear you because you have the potential of killing them. And if they're still being friendly to you, you know they're really friendly.
That's true.
Yeah, I think I come off very non-threatening, though.
But hold on. You came off unthreatening to some poor lass, and he was like, and you're like, oh, I got a rando over here, guys. I can't get rid of him. Oh, yep, he's still following me, guys. Don't worry. And then you got back to us, and you were like, oh, he's dead. He died somewhere along the way.
No, so, I don't know what happened to him, but no.
It's called a crevasse.
You know what happened to me?
That's what happened to him. I was called a crevasse.
Well, here's an interesting... I'm sorry if this is a boring story, but I got to tell it not to defend myself. But I was walking down the road, and some kid was just like, hey, did you... And he's calling my name, so I'm like, all right, what's up, dude? And he's like, hey, this is my friend. He doesn't have a mic. I'm logging off. Like, can you help him out? Like, he hasn't really started playing.
All these details we never heard before.
Yeah. And so I'm like, yeah, sure, man, just follow me. And the guy... And so he turns to his friend and he says something in another language, like, really quick. So I know, like, first of all, this guy probably doesn't speak English. He doesn't have a mic. You know, there's obviously a communication.
AKA below you.
No, I'm not saying below me. But you know,
he's Hollywooded, this guy.
No, he's new to
Hollywooded him.
No, I tried to. I was like, dude, follow me. Come on, we're going to go hunting. We're going to do this. And, you know, he's like, I could tell he's new to the game because he wants to go off and explore and do these things. And eventually, yeah, I lost him. I mean, that was a story. There was nothing else to it.
Wasn't a bear involved? Or a Wolverine or a zombie?
No, it was just like all of a sudden I got this guy.
No, he got lost. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
You didn't lose him, he got lost.
So after today, do you guys feel like you'd still be playing it?
It depends on who else.
You know what? Honestly, no. Maybe if you guys want to play, I would play more. I want to make our... We made a kick-ass fucking building.
Yeah,
but it's on a PvE server. And
by
the way,
we mean Bobby, right?
Yeah, by Bobby.
Well, you guys got the materials.
Yeah. I feel like on a PvE... server, I would be way more proud of what we built. I feel kind of like we cheated a little bit. It was an easy mode server, basically, except for the resources.
See,
resources were
so
hard to...
I don't think so. It's just a different kind of game. Because a building like that would serve you no purpose in a PvP server. You have different objectives in a PvP server.
How about sniper tower, sir? Have you ever heard that
There's no
term?
Sniper rifles in the game.
I don't like you.
No, well, here's my question about the game that I think is legitimate. This game is an alpha. It's really new. The developer has said that he's obviously going to be making big changes and going to let it go in the direction that the players want it to go. What direction do you want this to go, and what would you like to see in this game to make it better?
This is why I'm not a game dev. Like, right now, I like it. Where would I go from here? I think Chad wants to put some endgame in it, something where you could win. But how can you put a massively multiplayer game where everybody can win?
It's not massively. You got to keep in mind, like 100 people or 100.
Yeah, per server. But you're not going to do that in one shot. Whatever it is, you're not going to do it in one shot. What do you think?
Well, honestly, I think there's only two nodes to collect. Three if you count animals. I think you should diversify nodes. I think a lot of the exploration in the crafting can be expanded outward.
Mines, maybe?
You had a list of like 40 things that you can start with crafting. If you put that down to 3 and had to build outwards from that, you could see how there would be much more exploratory on the crafting side of it. If you could just start off building wood planks and taking stones to one thing and everything else you had to learn, I could see that would be a much more fun experience for myself.
Are you talking about a simplified crafting menu or a branching crafting menu?
Branching, I think, is what he's saying.
Branching, like you'd have to expand it out.
Like some person could be a carpenter, some person could be a hunter, some...
I think it would be good to, like, all I'm saying is you started with, like, 100 recipes right when you walked into the server. If you started with 3 or 4 and had to find the rest of those recipes or create the rest of those recipes, then you could see how much more.
But a lot of the recipes you start with, I think, are necessary for survival. You know, you have your torch, you've got something to build a shelter.
True, but you
which
only
are kind
need
of no-brainers anyway.
You only need the shelter, the torch, and the hatchet. Those are the only 3 recipes you really need to start with.
All those other things are kind of additionals.
Because We didn't start with a shelter. We started building a grand hut with 36 stories or however big you built it.
Like, it's pretty crazy.
If we had to start with a hut and then survive it a couple nights with just our hut, that would have been a much more engaging story to me. The other thing is, at nighttime, once we got a weapons, I didn't feel any more fear at night.
I'm telling you, that's... You're talking about the exception, not the rule. The rule is PvP, where you do have to be
true,
scared.
But I don't want just people to be what I'm afraid of. You know, you play Minecraft and everything's cool at day, and then nighttime comes and you got to protect yourself.
You know, if you have a
you got to survive the night. I didn't feel like surviving the night in that.
If you have a bigger monster than people, I think people would come together more.
Yeah,
like
true.
If there was like something big roaming around that you have to be afraid of,
smoke monster, or whatever.
Yeah, whatever it is. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would help with that.
I think something like that would be... I'd like to see this game branch in 2 directions. I'd like to see the PvE developed more and also like the PvP side developed. And I think what PvE really needs is what you're saying, a bigger monster. Because after a while, it became pretty easy to download or down the zombies. But
yeah.
They weren't a threat at all.
And then PvP, you don't even get a start. You can't even get started. You can't even find your buddies
because
everybody's shooting you from way far away, and you're just running down the road trying to find your buddy. So, yeah, probably a happy medium between there. That's why I say I'd rather not be a developer, although I rather would.
Yeah, I think this game is a little daunting to people who are joining PvP servers by themselves. It's very, very hard for them to get a leg up. You pretty much have to side with someone and get in with them or have some friends and work together. It's really difficult for a single person.
But I thought about that about DayZ, and DayZ was hugely popular.
How much did you play DayZ?
The original one, I played a good bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good. It's way better now. Huh?
But what I'm saying is you drop in DayZ, you have a can of beans and
sometimes a pistol. But not really.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, like, that is very harsh on a new player, and yet they still had millions of people that downloaded that.
I feel like
this
DayZ
game feels like that too.
Yeah, but DayZ, you got to remember, I mean, that came out how many years ago?
Oh, by the way, next week we're gonna have a whole discussion about DayZ because I think we're gonna play that all week. So
yeah, I think that'll be the new.
Come back next week, fellas. Stay tuned.
But when did that game come out? 2011. The mod, DayZ, like originally. It was a
while.
What
did I say about that? Late 2011?
Like, I want to say this whole open world thing really started catching fire around then, you know, along with Minecraft. DayZ and Minecraft are like the two games that really brought this to light. And and it was something so new and so fresh that everyone kind of jumped on the bandwagon with it.
You think it's going to fall off?
Well, like everything, yeah. If you oversaturate the market, it's eventually gonna not be that special.
So, just like MMOs, you can't have 80 successful MMOs. You need a bunch of players.
Exactly. And WoW came along and was this hugely successful MMORPG and just blew it up. And then you saw all these other ones come, and it was this whole big thing for a while. And then now it's not really like that. It's just another game. Another game on the shelf.
Yeah, but Minecraft and whatever predecessors there were, they created this genre, and maybe it's like hugely popular now, and maybe it will fall off. But at the same time, it's basically created a genre. This crafting survival open world.
We don't have a name for it.
Whatever, this crafting survival open world genre.
This podcast doesn't know it.
Like, that's a new genre, and how rare is it to come out with new genres? Before this, when MOBAs came out, a couple years ago, and MMOs
maybe one a year,
maybe a new genre.
I want to say before MOBAs, it was like years before a new genre came out, right?
I think the prior to MOBAs, the one before that is probably MMOs or something along that.
Yeah,
that
long. Yeah, which was like 4 or 5 years.
Yeah,
or more. Jeez.
So I think as a gamer, I think we should celebrate the fact that we have a new genre of game.
Yeah.
And I think it's still in its infancy, and the stuff we're seeing now is it's growing legs. MMOs were growing its legs with EverQuest and everything else, and then when Blizzard hit, it came into the forefront and it formed its niche. I think these are still coming into it. We haven't hit the Warcraft yet.
Yeah.
I think these are just the ones that are starting to figure it out.
Now, here's the difference. So, Rust might be the Warcraft, but again, we're in its infancy, and it's growing, and it's using everything that the players are saying into what, and that might fuck them in the long run, honestly. But, at least they're taking into account what the players are saying greatly. Like, the whole sharing of doors, that all came from players, and they're thinking about having keys where everybody that was accessed into that door has a key on them, but if they get killed, they find the killer finds a key and they can now get into that guy's house if they figure it out, and most people don't stray too far from their homes. So I mean, that's a great thing that they put in the game. So there's that. And I think Rust, I don't think it will be the Warcraft per se, but it might be. Who knows? It might be DayZ. DayZ's an alpha.
Yeah.
So, who knows?
Yeah, there's definitely something there. And I think the developer knows it, too, because they're not dropping the price on that game. Even during the sale, it was not going below $20. Like, retail, $19.99, did not... I have not seen that price reduced ever.
And it's mostly word of mouth, because they don't have a Metascore or anything.
Yeah.
Because they might. You don't always see it posted in Steam, but there might be. I haven't looked it up.
Well, Garry's Mod is hugely popular, and this is...
One of the most...
Based on, this is the same guy.
Same guy, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, is that all you guys have been playing? Just Rust, or has there been anything else?
So, I have a little bit of Skyrim story.
Oh, great.
Just real quick, sorry. So, I'm playing the DLCs for the first time, and I don't know if this is a product of the random nature of Skyrim, where things just randomly populate when you're going through them, or this is the way it was set up, but I highly doubt it. So I had to go get a gyroid for this engineer chick, but she sounded kind of ditzy when she was talking to me, like kind of spacey, and she's like, hey, can you go get this gyroid for me? I think the mudcrats stole them. And I'm like, why would mud crabs need a gyro? That's stupid. This is a dumb girl, right? There's no way that mud crabs, which are basically big crabs, stole a gyro. So I'm not even going to look by the river. I'm going to look at these two dirty hippies living 2 yards from her, right? So there's these two dirty hippies. They're fucked up on skooma, which is the Skyrim drug that's, I don't know, it fucks you up. I haven't taken it. And so they're all fucked up. They have a drum circle, and one's an orc, and the other one is a Brinton, which is basically a human. And she's trying to sound smart, like a lot of people that I've talked to on drugs do. A lot of big words that make no sense, just throwing shit out there. And he's just an idiot, but he owns up to it. Like, so I figured, okay, definitely the hippies took it because they want to sell it to get more skooma, right? So that's what I'm thinking. Because she's basically inside their camp, this guy, this person that I need to get a gyroid for. So I start talking to them, and they have collectively 15 to 20 minutes of just talking, right? And it's hilarious, guys. Like, I didn't get the gyro. They didn't have the gyro. They were innocent. But ultimately, I'm glad that I went through the dialogue because it was fucking hilarious. At the end of the day, like, I laughed out loud at a game that I've been playing 200 game hours on. The orc said, "Yeah, I'm pretty bad at everything. So I was freezing and I couldn't start a fire. So I went and found some pyromancers and I pissed them off and I started running. And I was hoping that maybe a rogue spell would light a bush on fire so maybe I could warm up." And like, I was like, wow, that's fucking brilliant. And what are the chances of me running into this dude? Like, I don't think he was supposed to be by that girl. So just that it's in the game, I appreciated all that extra stuff that they just put in randomly. It's awesome, and I had a great time with it. And the gyro ended up being by the Mudcrabs.
So you like a game that's 2 years old, is what you're saying?
I love it.
Okay.
I don't just like it.
I suppose I shouldn't say.
Oh, yeah, you shouldn't be saying. How old is your game, Chad?
Yeah, because I started playing WoW again, so there's that. I won't bore anybody with anything about it.
What's good about it? What's keeping you around?
Wasn't there a new expansion coming out?
That's why I'm picking it up, because I wanted to try out the new expansion. Every WoW expansion that happens, I play it. So the new one's coming out. I need to prep it.
Now, I haven't heard too much about this. I know they're handing out a free level 90. Are they adding a new class this time?
So the story takes place. There's some time traveling involved. I think Garrosh goes back in time to the old Draenei before it becomes Outlands. They're going up to 90. I haven't heard anything about a new class or race yet, but I'm sure they've talked about it. I haven't had time to look into it yet, but I'm excited to play it because I haven't played. I didn't like Mists of Pandaria, so I didn't really play that a whole bunch. So
liar, dude! I saw you leveling up your panda.
Yeah, I got 90, but I mean, like I said, I played for a couple months and then put it away.
A couple months—that's a lot.
Okay, for WoW, I didn't play it very much.
Oh, I see. But what have you been playing?
Well, yeah, obviously a lot of Rust. I told you I was playing some Costume Quest, which is...
I have no idea what that is.
I didn't know what it was either. I bought it during the Halloween sale. It is a Double Fine game. I think it was Ron Gilbert on this one. It actually got... I think VGA gave it, like, a downloadable game of the year in 2010 or 11, so it had some, like, fame to it. But very short, like, casual, super casual, like, easy adventure game. You play as these kids who are trick-or-treating around town. You got to fight off monsters, and it was a lot of fun. I mean, I shouldn't say a lot of fun. It was good. The thing that I think this game was missing, though, was voice acting. There was no voice acting in it. All the dialogue was text boxes, and I think that really detracted.
They didn't even have the gibberish.
No, didn't even have little sound effects. But, you know, it was just a fun little game. It was something to pass the time. It was okay. But, you know, I've been getting my ass kicked up and down the block this week at work, so I have not had a lot of time to play. And when that happens...
No excuse, man. This is your priority from now on.
Hey, it is a priority, and I made up for it this weekend, believe me. But during the week when I don't have a lot of time to play, I gravitate towards games that do not require a long session. So I was playing a little bit of TF2, which I think is a game where you can just pick up.
Fuck, I ain't getting an invite.
Yeah, seriously.
Sure.
Whose fault is that?
Wow.
Man? We're on Steam.
Whose fault is it that they did not receive an invite?
Whose fault is that?
Wow.
Yeah, no, I was playing it. And you know what? Like, I play that game for a while and I get bored and then I eventually go back to it. And so this time, to kind of counter the boredom, what I tried doing is playing other classes other than the medic, which was okay. But you know what? I really like playing the medic, and I think I really know why. It's not because a lot of people don't like playing that passive role where you hang back and you have to heal people all the time and you're not on the front line in the action. But for me, like, all that is just made up for like those instances, and you know this happens when you play medic, where you're healing some guy and he just gets blown up, you know, just a crit comes out of nowhere, blows him up. You turn to heal someone else, nobody's there. So it's time to go bone saw. You pull it out and you just run at them. Like you're surrounded and you're just like, I'm probably going down. Let's see if I can take one of these guys with me. And it is the most exhilarating part of that game.
And guys, not fucking around. When Bobby plays medic, he beats me at heavy, and I do pretty well with heavy, and he'll be above me usually. So he, you know, if you could top the scoreboard with a medic, you're doing pretty good.
I think I could play medic in my sleep.
He likes to spread the love, and that's where you get the points, because you get more points
for
people under full health.
And I know exactly how to do it. I know, like, oh, that guy looks like he's about to get a kill, throw a hill on him, get a point for that. You know, this guy's low. You know, I know, I've done it so much that I just know all the motions that go through.
Oh, and real quick, sorry to go back to Skyrim, but... I'm getting a lot more replay value out of it, and I'm going to sound like a total fucking nerd here, but I'm playing it with my own self-narrative now. I made an orc this time, and I told myself that this orc only sees things in black and white. There is no if, and, or but, and he makes his decisions on the spot. So every one of those, like, things that is presented to you, like, you know, you could go kill this person, but I don't know, you know, he's a bad guy. No, it's black and white, and it's instant. I've killed several quest givers because of what they said, like, you know, go kill this person. You know what? You're going to die now. And I never did it on the original game, and it changes the game completely. And we've talked about this, where it's hard to be the bad guy, but what if you're not the bad guy? What if you're playing as a bad guy? And that's kind of what I'm doing this time. Well, he's not a bad guy. He's generally a good guy, but it's all black and white, and he makes his decision instantly. Mm-hmm. I pick everything instantly while I'm playing with this guy. I'm having so much more fun because I feel like all the weight of the moral choices are off my shoulders. And it sounds like I'm really role-playing in this RPG, and I guess that's what I'm doing, but I'm having more, maybe even more fun than the original playthrough. And that's saying a lot, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the kind of game you can do that with. You know, I think the biggest problem I had with the whole moral decision thing was in Mass Effect, where it's just like, it really put you in the position where you feel like Shepard should be this upstanding guy.
Yeah.
And if you don't, you really feel like you're going against the grain.
Yeah.
I think in Skyrim...
there's a lot more gray area, I think.
Yeah, there's more gray area.
It's either black or white in Mass Effect. In Skyrim, there's a ton of gray area. Ton. You could be a hero in one town, and a villain in another, and mid-grade in the other, and a werewolf in the other, and a vampire in another, and still be one dude. So there's a lot of things you can do there, but I think maybe that's why this narrative is helping me out, this self-imposed narrative that I'm doing.
So looking ahead... aside from Skyrim, what kind of games you guys think you'd be playing this upcoming week?
So, this week, I'm gonna dedicate myself to DayZ. I'm gonna pick it up, and I'm gonna play. I played the mod, 15 hours or so. I played the mod quite a bit, maybe even more, 20 hours, and I liked it and enjoyed it. But I'm watching videos. I'm watching a lot of videos of the new alpha, and it's a lot more polished. And it makes a lot more sense. But it's an alpha, so there's not a lot of zombies. It's more PvP. It's more like Rust right now. Mm-hmm. Except for you can't build your own stuff. So I'm going to dedicate myself to DayZ, and then next week we'll talk about it. That's the way I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I'm probably going to play DayZ as well. Hearthstone actually went open beta, so there's a couple people that didn't get on the closed beta that I'm friends with that are now excited to play Hearthstone again. You guys both have played Hearthstone, so you guys know all about it. But so this will
we've talked about it quite a bit.
Yeah, so I'm probably going to play a little bit of Hearthstone with that. Obviously, WoW, I'm going to continue to play.
Dude, you've been all about WoW lately.
That's a game that's easy to be all about.
Yeah,
that was one of those games for me where, I was mentioning earlier today, like, I'm kind of in a zone where I'm playing a game, moving on, just going through a lot of these games. And it really wasn't like that, especially with WoW. Like, that was all I played. That was my entire PC gaming experience for, like, a solid year, maybe.
It's sad because last month I said I want to play an MMO. What MMO is there out there that I want to play? And you know, you see a Final Fantasy 14 or a Terra or even a Guild Wars 2.
Stack up?
Yeah, none of them to me at least stack up. And
although a lot of that has to do with the player base, right? because you were in there because your friends were there, right?
True.
You wouldn't be playing WoW alone, completely alone.
I did. I started my WoW account before any of my...
Oh, and then you told your buddies and they...
Yeah, and then work buddies, and now we've got like almost 20 people that were interested in playing again.
Man, you're going to have a whole new fucking guild in all.
I know, seriously. Okay. How about you, Bobby? What are you playing?
This week, looking ahead...
Planning to play.
Probably get on the DayZ train, see what's up with that.
Yeah, if you didn't say that, you would have been a total fucking podcast dick. Podcast dick, everyone.
No, I mean, I got to play it so I can come on next week and be like, well, you know.
That wasn't very true.
I mean, it was okay, but, you know, let's calm down here, guys. But, yeah.
When does your pre-order come out? That's not next week, right?
That's January 28th for Broken Age, and I will be playing that when it comes out.
But you'll finish it in one sitting, most likely, or two.
Probably, well, if it's a weekend.
Six hours he's excited about, so, one sitting.
But, yeah, DayZ, you know,
girlfriends get excited about 15 seconds. Right, just to put things in perspective.
If there was ever a time where you needed to play a sound effect, that was it. That's where the cricket should go.
Too late now.
Put it in post. All right, so there's been a couple games I've been like kind of playing around with here and there, and I just have not gotten into them, Deadpool being one of them. I'm probably about 2 hours into that game. And, I mean, it's enjoyable. I can't really make a valid statement about it yet, but I may check that one out. And, I don't know, I'm thinking about seeing through...
Skyrim?
No. Game Dev Tycoon. I know I beat that, but you can continue playing afterwards. And I really did enjoy that game.
I like the premise. I think it's pretty cool. So meta.
I can't play that game enough. I mean... I know it's unlike me to say that I like something, but I really did like that
game. But it's okay because nobody else likes it, Bobby.
I guess. I don't understand. It got 68 on Metacritic, and I do not understand why. And I think it's like any other simulation game. I have a lot of fun with them, like Theme Hospital or like all these old school ones. But this one, having to do with video games, it makes it so much better.
Well, look at Civ 5, simulation game. It's in the 90s, I believe.
Yeah, and I loved Civ.
Yeah.
But...
Number three or four on most plays games on Steam, by the way.
Yeah, that one's up there too, surprisingly. Surprisingly to me, but apparently that's a very popular game. But yeah, I think not only is this game a lot of fun, I feel like I've learned a lot. I may be way off here. I feel like I've learned a lot about the game developing business.
Let's make a game. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Which is why, I mean, not about making a game, but about the business of it. Which is why when I read that article about the Oculus games costing more money, well, I'm like, obviously. I mean, in Game Dev Tycoon, I had to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to research the ability to use VR in my games. So, of course, the game's going to cost more money. You know? So if you guys need to get on my level here is what I'm saying. Play a little Game Dev Tycoon.
We're not tycoons is what it comes out to.
So you know the business, like me. Like, it is it's very informative. I mean, you deal with everything, like patent trolls and piracy. Like, every topic comes up. It's just such a solid
experience. Where's your millions, man? Are you EA in that game? Are you EA right now?
No, EA, I mean, they make up fake names for everything, and right. EA is in the game, and they do have a fake name. And yeah, they're a publisher in that game, and you can make deals with publishers because you're a developer and you name your own studio.
I think we talked about the game.
And you,
Have we? Real quick, I'm going to jump into hardware, which I personally will never do because I never buy hardware. But I bought the Logitech G931000. No, it's just the G930. It's the headset. It's the most popular thing that I found on Newegg and the highest rated. And it's also the highest rated, most bought thing on Amazon. It's a headset, a wireless headset. I'm not going to go into why I need a wireless headset, but it's generally better. And a couple quick things that jump off the page for me. One, it only takes up one USB drive, which is nice because the charging cable goes into, you know, wherever you put it. And then there's the cable itself has a USB drive or connector for the transmitter. So you put the charge cable in one hole, and then the charge cable itself has a hole for the transmitter, and now you're only using up one instead of two USB cables, which I have a hard time having. I have to unplug things all the time. And then that thing plugs into or just transmits, either way, however you want to do it. As far as sound, the sound is great. It is not a noise canceling one, so I can kind of, I don't want noise cancellation 100%. I want to know if there's a killer behind me with a knife in general.
That makes sense.
I get kind of, yeah. Or whenever the pizza shows up, I've talked about this before. If the pizza's there, I want to know that it's there and I can hear it. So it's not 100%, but it, you know, it goes over your ears and it's encompassing. And overall, I give it, you know, I think I'm on board with everybody else. It's like 4.5 stars out of 5. Maybe I'll give it 4 stars because I'm not used to wearing something so heavy. But I like it a lot.
So what's the model number on this again?
This is the G930 Logitech headset.
I swear that's the one I have.
Is it really?
I'm pretty sure that is, yeah.
Yours sucks, though.
G930. Yeah, it didn't always suck. No, it cuts out all the time now.
Yeah, it does.
It does have problems with wireless routers, I've read in some reviews. But when it comes to a wireless headset, nothing's ever going to be perfect. It's still 10 times better than the last one I have. And a wireless headset's one of the best investments I made. It's just so much easier not having that cord there.
So much better. Yeah. And you don't have to take it off every time you have to go do anything. I mean, we've all heard each other pee. And you know, out of that little pissing contest, if you will, Chad wins.
That's true.
Let's be honest. He pisses like a racehorse, folks. Like a goddamn racehorse. Real quick, I want to get into this thing that I saw on the cover of Game Informer this month. Hmm. There's a game called Evolve. And this is out of the same studio that came out with Left 4 Dead 2, I believe, not Left 4 Dead 1. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's called Turtle Rock Studios. Hmm. But that goes by the wayside. I heard that basically the rough draft of this game, they already have a playable alpha that they only play inside studio, but the concept alone is amazing. Okay, imagine you're playing, I want to say it's a mix between, what was the, god damn it. Okay, it's a mix between Left 4 Dead and Predators. Do you guys know what Predators is?
Saw the movie, didn't play the game.
No, just the movie. Predators.
Oh, okay.
Not Predator 2, Predators.
With Adrian Brody.
Yeah, Adrian Brody, exactly. Mm-hmm. It's a mix between those two. So you have four hunters that are hunting through a jungle, and they're trying to kill the monster, right? But in this said jungle, there's wildlife, and you might kill some wildlife thinking it's the monster because it starts off small. So you have a lot of, this is what the dev was talking about, you have a lot of, hey, did we kill, was that it? Let's go check it out. Guess what? It wasn't it. Or maybe it was and you win, but it's not guaranteed. So the monster is played by a player. So is the four people working together. So early on, maybe you could split up trying to find this thing, kill it early while it's weak. Or you stay together and try to move quickly. There's a lot of strategies you could go with. The monster, meanwhile, is trying to eat prey that isn't the hunters and get bigger and stronger. When it gets to a certain point, guess what? Role reversal. Now it's the hunter, not the huntee. And you have a giant monster hunting the hunters. And I guess, you know, if you work together, you could probably take it down still at that point. But it's going to be really, really tough, way harder. So, in concept, it sounds amazing. Comes out of a studio that I already trust. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I think we're maybe a year off here, but as far as the concept, sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Sounds solid. You know, and a lot of times when you have a game like this, there tends to be a side that people always want to play. In Left 4 Dead, in Left 4 Dead 2, everyone always wants to play the undead. That tends to seem to be the more funner side to be on. What do you think is going to be the fun side on this game? Think it's going to be funner being the monster or the four people trying
to... First of all, funner isn't a word.
Funner?
We're going to have more fun. Funner not being a word. I learned that from Chad.
Okay.
Chad, you tell it. Now you chime in here.
I think if they want the game to succeed, you know...
And be funner?
If there's four people playing versus one, you better hope that the people playing the hunters are going to have the more fun role. But just hearing you talk about it and seeing the articles on it, from what I see, I think that the monster would be a more fun play. Yeah. And then you got a bunch of people that want to play monsters.
I would guess more skill is involved on the monster. I'm just guessing there.
And absolutely. And I think that's good because you can have newer players who go into the game and they play as the hunters and they can kind of get carried a little bit by other people who have played a little bit longer.
A new monster that hasn't played as a hunter is going to fail every time, I would guess.
But that reminds me of Natural Selection, which was a game.
Heavy learning curve.
But there was a commander on each side that basically could direct people, which you would think that more people would want to play, but every time we tried to play it, nobody wanted to play the commander.
It's a big role. Yeah, it's a big role.
So maybe the monster will be...
No, in Left 4 Dead 2, it was random who got selected as the...
As the tank.
The tank, right? And you felt... I always felt privileged, like, oh, yeah, awesome, I get to go fuck these...
But there's also a feeling of don't fuck it up.
Yeah, don't fuck it up as well, because, you know, the game's on you. Now, on this...
I think that's big with Natural Selection, too, because a lot of people do not want to take the role as the commander. They don't want to be held responsible. They don't want that pressure. And it's a difficult task, especially if you don't know what you're doing.
You know what? That game, more than anything, because you're in direct communication, verbal communication with everybody that's depending on you. So, you know, but... In general, I've run into, you know, people are really nice with that game because I think they understand the learning curve more so than a lot of games that I've played, in my experience, anyway.
That's true. The other thing about that game, Evolve, is if you think about it one way, it's a multiplayer game versus a single-player game.
Yeah, there's that too.
And, you know, to be able to get a multiplayer game to play evenly with a single-player game is going to be very difficult to balance. I'm not sure... If the final iteration is going to be something that is going to be,
I really think what it comes down to is, you know, early on, it's let's just go kill that fucking thing. Later on, it's like we need to work together to kill this thing. Last thing is we're trying to survive.
But the other thing is, you know, if you have a shitty monster that doesn't know what he's doing. If four people go in and kill the thing, it's
round over. Yeah.
So, like, you want a guy that's good enough that you get some enjoyment out of. So, like, your opponent, it's no longer like Counter-Strike.
That goes with most games, though.
But Counter-Strike, if you were playing against 10 versus 10 and one guy sucks, he dies every time and you move on. But 4 versus 1, if that guy sucks, your gameplay is done.
It could be very imbalanced. We've seen that in Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2. We've seen very lopsided gameplay. And, I mean, that kind of stuff is bound to happen. Perhaps it'll be some sort of rating system like Smite has, what is it, ELO?
League of Legends.
To kind of balance that stuff.
But you know what also is, I've never made more friends on Steam than playing for Left 4 Dead. Mm-hmm. That shit, that fucking 4 co-op, people running through, getting through harrowing situations together, builds friendship like nothing else.
And so. I think any co-op is going to build friendships. The problem is there's just so few co-op games that are made. Left 4 Dead is one of the last.
Multiplayer doesn't mean co-op.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A bunch of players playing Counter-Strike, you're not playing co-op. You're playing 9 people individually playing and one guy that wants to go around and
TF2
try to do...
is kind of co-op.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When Bobby plays, because he wants to help you out with the medic.
Such a nice guy.
But everybody else wants to play. Like,
Chad likes to play a medic too, but he doesn't look behind him and get stabbed every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get targeted by those spies.
Spies love me.
All right, so... I think that's about it. You guys want to wrap this one up?
I got nothing else.
Thank you guys.
All right. Sounds good. So
thanks for listening.
Slip into the radio voice. If you're listening, thank you. If you're on Steam, you can hit us up. We've got a group, DL Gaming. You can check us out on our website, dlgaming.net. Email us at dudes@dlgaming.net. That's dudes@dlgaming.net. If you guys want to play some Rust or some DayZ with us, awesome.
Hook it up. We're hanging out.
Let us know.
Mostly late night. I would say between the hours of what? Pacific Standard Time, between 7 and 1 a.m., I would say. Mm-hmm. Oh, 5 for you, right?
Yeah, catch me on the weekends.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Congratulations to Andrew here for not taking a single pee break throughout the entire episode. Round of applause. Thank you, Chad, for joining us here. I know you traveled far to be here with us today.
Yeah, definitely hit us up. Tell us what you think. Tell us what you think of Chad, the difference, the dynamic. Do you like him? Should I kick him in the nuts? Whatever. Put it on dudes at DL Gaming. Or since there's only 3 of you, just call me on the phone. It's a joke.